nothing but a hound dog. We're here in Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee with Gary Hahn, Vice President, Marketing and Media. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having us.
As I told you off air a little earlier, this is how naive I am. I arrived here in Memphis and I thought you'd drive me out in the country and we'd go by rolling farms and cows and there would be Graceland out in the countryside.
Right. Well, when Elvis bought Graceland in 1957, it was a very rural farm-like environment, but things grew up around him in the 60s, and it became a nice middle-class neighborhood. But yeah, originally it was very rural. And the original 13.8 acres are still sort of a very peaceful environment.
Right now, we're at the new iteration, incarnation of Graceland. Tell us, this is all new.
Yes, we're sitting at what we call Elvis Presley's Memphis, which is our new complex across the street from the mansion. About 220,000 square feet of new exhibits and restaurants and gift shops, and we just opened it on this past March. People are loving it, and it's an opportunity for us to showcase a whole lot more of the Graceland archives, which, generally speaking, we've not had the room to show.
It's like a little village in a way.
Yes, it's anchored by three different exhibits, one being the Presley Motors, which is our new car museum, which features over 30 of Elvis's cars and motorized vehicles, tractors and scooters and motorcycles. We have Elvis the Entertainer in the center of the complex, which is our new career museum. We never had a museum that we could fully dedicate to Elvis's entire career from the early beginnings through his concert years and his touring years. So that's a 20,000 square foot exhibition space. And just behind me, we have what we call the soundstage, and that is a big open 20,000 square foot space where we can do concerts. And right now we're running Elvis movies continuously for the guests.
And what's interesting, there's a big giant theater screen up there right now, and there's seats set up, but yet you walk in that space and it's like a tiny corner. It's a huge...
Yes, it's a huge space. It's where we're going to host Elvis Week this year. Elvis Week is our big annual celebration that we have, and we used to have to put up a big tent across the street from the mansion, so now we have the soundstage where most of the activities will take place.
And then I understand you just recently completed a new hotel in Companionship.
That's right. We, in addition to the complex, we opened our new hotel, the Guest House at Graceland. It's the third largest hotel in Memphis and the largest hotel project in the city in over 90 years. And it was designed with Priscilla Presley's involvement. You know, Elvis always wanted a guest house on his property. He always had too many friends coming in, and there was not enough room at Graceland, and they'd be put up at the Howard Johnson's down the street. And so we're thrilled to have a place for fans. It's 450 rooms. It's wonderfully decorated. How would Elvis design a hotel in 2017?
It was kind of eerie arriving late last night, and out on the porte cochere, there's Elvis singing from the trees and the columns. It really was ethereal and a bit haunted.
Yes, it hopefully in a good way. You know, we designed the hotel. You don't have to be a hardcore Elvis fan to love the hotel. It's a luxury resort. AAA just gave it its 4-diamond rating. We're bringing a lot of corporate visitors as well. So we really designed it in a way we don't overpower you with Elvis.
He's there.
But he's there in different ways. It has some great restaurants. And again, it's the place where Elvis fans will stay. But also, just if you're a music fan or if you're just visiting Memphis on business or to tour, it's a great place to stay.
Let's segue back to the old Graceland, because that's bluntly the reason I came. That's what attracted me. And thinking back to the day when Elvis and Priscilla were alive and there, they didn't throw anything out. They kept everything.
Yes, well, that goes back to Vernon, Elvis's father, who was a real pack rat and literally kept every invoice, every lamp, every piece of furniture. You know, he worked at an office right behind the mansion itself, which is part of the tour. And we are still cataloging everything. There is over a million documents. We haven't even gotten through them all. We have warehouse upon warehouse. And the beauty of Elvis Presley's Memphis is that we get to display a lot more of the things that you don't necessarily see in the mansion. But you're absolutely right. Everything was kept, even from homes that Elvis lived in prior to moving into Graceland.
And it really is time travel. You guys did a phenomenal job at making it feel like he could have just walked out an hour ago.
It is frozen in time. I think that's part of the magic of the mansion, quite honestly. It also happens to be a design time in the 70s that most people didn't freeze. So you will see shag carpeting in the famous jungle room, and you'll see a lot of furniture design that is uniquely 1970s. That is part of its charm.
His jungle room, that's great.
The jungle room, which was called the den, he never called it the jungle room, by the way. It was he used the room quite a bit. He would come down, and it was usually the first room he would sit in after waking up. But it was called the den. It was the press who coined it the jungle room after we opened for tours in 1982.
Oh, interesting. And then technologically, the guy was super cutting edge. His portable television and communication systems, talk about that.
Very much so. Elvis was an early adopter. He loved new technology. He had the first microwave oven purchased in Memphis, which is still in the kitchen today. He had one of the first TV remote controls before that was something that was common in households.
And something about a prehistoric cell phone or telephone system.
In the archives is a portable telephone. Before it was known as a cell phone, he had a very big case that it's held in, and the receiver looks like an old wall phone. And he loved that. He had 13 TVs in the mansion, which again was sort of unusual for a town that was, you know, before cable, when you only had three stations, but there were 13 TVs to choose from.
Somebody said that he was envious of LBJ having three TVs and watching three stations at once, so he did the same thing in his little living room.
That's right. That's in the TV room in the basement. There are three TVs that can play, that do play at the same time, different stations. And yes, our understanding was he saw that LBJ had that in the White House and would watch the three networks' newscasts. Elvis might have a football game on one and, you know, Johnny Carson on the other at the same time, yeah.
I thought it was really awesome. You guys kept his private jetliner and his small little star jet. And, what is it?
It's a Convair 880.
Oh, it's a Convair 880, yeah.
It's a very rare. You don't see them, you know, they don't fly anymore. But
very similar in appearance to that era of the 707.
Yeah. But yes, that he coined the Lisa Marie after his daughter, and proud to have that on display, as well as the smaller jet. And, you know, other than presidents with Air Force One, who owns their own jet back in that day? And so it's great to make that was the Flying Graceland, you know, and he would use that to on his concert tours. And he took Lisa Marie to see snow in Colorado once for her birthday. So, yeah.
I heard that was like a half-day flight, just go over there, look at the snow. And come
probably
back.
So, probably, yeah, in those days, I imagine so, yeah. But.
How cool. Well, we're just about out of time. Before we go, just real briefly, how did he make the bulk of his money? Was it Hollywood or was it live performance?
Well, you know, early on, it was his recordings and then Hollywood in the 60s. It tended to shift, you know. I mean, so the 50s, when his recording career was in full bloom, then it was Hollywood in the 60s when he wasn't really touring. And then when he went to Vegas in 69 and then started touring in the 70s, then touring was indeed where most of the revenue came from. So it really shifted depending on the era.
Unfortunately, Gary, I'm out of time. You're out of time. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for visiting Graceland, Tom. It was great to have you.
It's my pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Graceland in Memphis, Tennessee, where we've been visiting with Gary Hahn, Vice President, Marketing and Media.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansas Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR. I need your loving. That's all right. That's all right.